Lent is one of those wonderful times that people approach it for various reasons. When usually someone comes up to me and says, you know, I really like Lent, it usually is followed by the fact that it gives me now an opportunity to lose some weight. It's as if Lent were Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers. Others say, I really like Lent because when you go into restaurants, they understand immediately that this is a time people will be looking more for fasting, and the fish selection seems to be a lot better. So when one gentleman came up to me and said, you know, Archbishop, I really like Lent, I said, oh, here it comes. You know, either it's cuisine or it's getting in shape. He said, I really like Lent because, he said, every day is an opportunity to be challenged in my faith to grow in holiness. Almost felt like responding to him the way Christ responded to the individual who gave an answer about how the whole law and prophets are summed up. I felt like saying to him, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. Because really, that's what it's all about. It's all about our journey in relationship to God in the sense of holiness. Even today, in terms of the liturgical celebration, you notice that I am pretty in pink. You know, although most clergy would say immediately, it's rose, it's rose, it's rose. You know, but actually what it is it's an aspect that lifts us up, that we should rejoice. Why? Because it's coming close to the fulfillment of the promises that God has made through his Son. And so therefore we have to stop, to pull back, and we have to understand. So what a fitting gospel we have today to help us to understand that love. What a fitting gospel. When we take a look at the characters that we have, of course we have the prodigal son, and unfortunately, that's pretty much what the title of the gospel that many people in a popular vein will entitle the gospel, the gospel of the prodigal son. And we immediately remember the relationship, the prodigal son who goes off, squanders the father's inheritance, comes back and is embraced lovingly by the father. Actually, and Henry Nouwen got it right when he was contemplating a Rembrandt picture of the prodigal son, came up with the idea and said immediately, you know, all of this is about the generous love of the father. That's the focal point. That's the focal point. The generous love of the father who meets us where we are and who invites us to understand the importance of his love in the transformative aspect of our lives. Now, I'd probably venture to say that many who are here have never experienced the loss of everything like the prodigal son. Although, in spiritual journeys that I have been a part of, I have met individuals who have lost everything, who have bottomed out in their lives. And when they do that, there is a choice. The choice is to either choose God or oblivion, because that's what's offered to them. They recognize that they have to get on their knees or open up their heart and surrender, if you want, to God's love. Now, that's a tough word for most of us. Having been in the military, I don't even like that word, surrender. Surrender is you turn over yourself, you submit to the other power, you submit totally, you turn over. And yet I tell you that you cannot understand leading lives towards holiness unless surrender is there. I don't mean just for the individual who might be caught in the depravity of life. I'm talking about all of us. Well, you see, when we take a look at it, most of us will quickly, especially if it's during the time, and I encourage everyone to go to reconciliation, do not let this Lent go by without embracing reconciliation. That in the aspect of reconciliation, There is a turning over. And if we were to project ourselves on, we would see ourselves as a prodigal son. But you're not. You're that good son. You're the good sons and daughters. You're here on church. You're here struggling with life. You're here praying and making God. But the challenge of the good son is the father has to meet him also. And why? Because he thinks he earns everything he's received. Because he thinks he deserves it. He doesn't greet everything as a gift, and especially the loving relationship with God. Those are stark words for us when we begin to hear something. Son, don't you realize everything I have is yours? Don't you realize the loving relationship I have with you? Don't you realize how you're embraced in that love? Have you been living a chore, a task? Have you been going about your things because you think that this earns you something? You can hear those stark words in our own lives. In our own lives. We think we've earned something, or do we understand that it all starts with a loving relationship that's been given to us through the fact that we surrender to God? We're here this morning to give praise to a God who loves us. We're here this morning to celebrate the fact that God transforms our life. He gives us something in the relationship itself that we do not deserve and we cannot earn. We come here today to celebrate the fact that he demonstrates his love totally and completely through his son on the cross and then feeds us. We should be rejoicing in and of itself. We can't be envious of the rest of the world, and we can't be duped by the world, which may tell us, trust in this person as a leader, trust in that person as a leader, look forward to progression. Because there is no progression apart from the love of God. There is only one leader that guides and directs our lives in holiness and goodness. And why? Because we understand immediately that this is a person we have surrendered to, loves us. Loves us. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate that love and to understand how it transforms us here in the fourth Sunday of Lent, looking forward to the greatest statement of love that God can make in the sacrifice of his son. We rejoice with the fact that our hearts are filled. And we know that love conquers everything, even sin and death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.